Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Amarika Olivo, and whenever I'm not being terrorized in the movies, such as Friday the 13th or Circle, or terrorizing others, like in Bitch Slap, I'm avoiding dirty old men like Mr. Media. And if you see him, you should too.
That was not very nice, America. Amarika, I can't stand it when I say it wrong. Oh, well. Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Andrew Cook and John Cook, producers of a wonderful documentary, Will Eisner, Portrait of a Sequential Artist, which was just released on DVD. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Ammon, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of comic book geeks still arguing in online bulletin boards and listservs about who coined the term graphic novel long after the debate's expiration date has passed in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
In the 1940s, Will Eisner believed that comics were an art. And at that point, nobody believed comics were an art.
You know, one thing I really admired about Will was that he was able to make a great cocktail out of the ambitions that his parents had for him. Comics are an interesting arena for this. They're that place where commerce and art get to spawn their bastard children.
The fact that he had ownership in the spirit was pretty much unprecedented. You can count on one hand the cartoonists who owned or were able to acquire the rights to their own strip.
What Eisner did, which was so radical, was to introduce genuine agony, real pain.
They were just like the great Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall movies, the wonderful film noir movies.
Pacing, the way that he used time, the way that he introduced cinematic techniques, the idea of the camera angles, all of these things were that first gateway that Will offered us into how comics could evolve and change.
Looking at the city as a living, breathing creature, the people interacting with it, his ability to capture that was inspiring in terms of viewing the city yet again anew.
Well, Will Eisner essentially invented the graphic novel, I would say, or at least he was the first artist, writer to take it really seriously.
Me and many other cartoonists of my generation really took notice. For the first time, I started seeing what I did as not periodicals, but as things that would sit on a shelf and have a life forever.
This is a story about people who go through life, do great things, and never mention people, have moments of glory that other people never know anything about.
Cook and John Cook, and yes, they're brothers, have devoted roughly 8 years of their lives to producing and distributing the documentary film Will Eisner, Portrait of a Sequential Artist. Now, I know the brothers Cook pretty well and feel their pain because for several years we were on somewhat similar career tracks. Back in 2002, I met Will Eisner for the first time when he interviewed me to help him write his autobiography. 3 years later, that became the only authorized biography that one of the founding fathers of modern comic books and graphic novels cooperated on, Will Eisner's Spirited Life. What I didn't know for the longest time, as I spent hour upon hour with Will, was that paralleling my book research were Andrew Cook and John Cook, who were simultaneously developing a documentary on the American Master. We connected by phone for the first time about midway through our respective projects. I remember it very well because I think I talked to John and I was at gymnastics for my daughter, waiting outside, killing time, as always. And both of our finished projects, I think they were still editing the documentary a bit, but they showed about 45 minutes of it at a graphic novel symposium at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. in October 2005, 10 months after Will Eisner's passing at the age of 87. Sadly, it's taken Andrew and John this long to get a DVD of that wonderful documentary. Again, I'll give you the title. It's Will Eisner, Portrait of a Sequential Artist, out to the public. But it was well worth the wait, and I'm delighted to help my old comrades get the word out. Andrew Cook, John Cook, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having us.
Delighted to do it, and your brothers, so I expect you to speak at the same time through the entire 30 minutes. Hey, congratulations on finally getting the movie out to the people.
Thank you so much. It's really, as you said, it really was a long road, but, you know, we really had a great time doing it.
Yeah, there was also a process of it going to innumerable film festivals, so... That extended period also had to do with screening it and actually internationally.
Yeah, when we premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2007, it's been a long road since then in terms of going to film festivals. I've been traveling with the film for years, you know, showing it at different festivals and getting... just incredible response. We just literally a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, we screened at the in Columbus, Ohio, at the Columbus Jewish Film Festival, which was great. Mm-hmm.
I know I had a promo of that up on the site. That's spiritedlife.com. I'll throw that in. Did you guys ever think about throwing in the towel? I mean, did you get frustrated enough that you just wanted to just hang it all up?
No, it was a long process. We have to say that certainly a catalyst for us was the shock of Will passing away that January, and that was certainly we redoubled our efforts.
I think it was a combination of things. I think that was certainly probably for me too. That was the biggest catalyst. Sadly, I heard from you, Bob, that Will had passed away. I had, on that morning that you sent out the email, I just was checking my email at the sort of the last time before I was going to work, and it was just, you know, it was heartbreaking. It was, I think, you know, for all of us, but it really, as John said, it was the catalyst for, definitely for me, saying, you know, we really have to finish this. And I also have to say that we had an incredible... dedicated crew that, in particular, Chris Shackman, who was the executive producer and editor on the film, who joined us, and you know, because really nobody got paid on this, so it was a labor of love, and it was a lot of work, you know, but it was a combination of those two things, and I personally never seriously thought we'd never finish this. I mean, Will was too important a person in our lives and too important a person in comics or, you know, graphic novels.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's important to note that that Will fully authorized the film while we did it. And for people who will see the DVD or the Blu-ray, will see that there was an extensive interview with Will throughout it. And we had there was never a feeling between us brothers to throw in the towel. We actually had rough plans, tentative plans to go down and shoot Will down to photograph Will down in Florida because we needed footage, of course, him at work, and we wanted to do the next stage of the interview. And as you know, you knew him, Bob, and he was a very young man in many ways. He was just a complete dynamo, and we had known that he was going to go in the hospital, and all the word was that he was recovering quite well, and so it was extremely sudden, and it struck us in a strange way for a man who was an octogenarian, you know.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it really struck a heart. I put a knife right through comics fandom and people who cared about him. You know?
Well, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, you said that you got the email, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And I still remember that morning as crisply as I remember the first conversation with John outside the gymnastics place. Frankly,
I was just about to walk
out the door and take my daughter to school, like a lot of people were doing that morning. And the phone rang, and it said Will Eisner Studios, I think is what it said. And I looked at it and I thought, this can't be good. And it was Anne. And yeah, she told me, and I was just like blown away. And boy. But, I mean, you know, that's the unhappiness of this. But let's talk a little about the happy part. Tell our listeners how you guys settled on Will Eisner as a documentary subject in the first place.
Well, that's my cue. quickly segue into my brother, the film director. I do a magazine called Comic Book Artist. I had I'd interviewed Will Eisner numerous times, and also met him and sat with him at comic conventions. And the thing is, for those who are not in the comics field, you have to understand he's an absolute legend. He's one of the greatest artists who ever graced the art form, and he was completely and utterly approachable, and he was always extremely friendly to entertain a conversation, a dialogue with anybody. And I used to call him up, and we just kind of go back and forth about certain things. He wanted me to work on a book of his military work, and anyway, we had a continuing relationship. I watched American Masters on PBS and walked away with it saying, why can't there be one on Will Eisner? On a comic book artist, and who better to pick than Will Eisner? So I immediately got in touch with Andy, and Andy said, that sounds like a good idea. And I called Will, and Will said, yeah, I'd be very interested in that if you work with that parameters. And I'll pass it over to Andy right now.
John had called me. I was working on a job. I was working on a movie and out in the Lower East Side, actually on the Lower Tip, which is interesting. But and it really, when John said, you know, a documentary about Will Eisner, I thought, well, what a great idea. I also I thought, well, that would be relatively easy to do. It wouldn't take us that long to do it, but which obviously I was wrong. but there was also a group of people that were working in production who wanted to do other things like I did, and I thought, well, I could bring this group together and we could make the movie. And John and I, we grew up reading comic books, and you know, they're such an important part of our lives. And I went off to movies, and John has stayed with comic books. And but the one thing, the one series, the Warren reprints of The Spirit, really, for me, it really blew me away in a way that, you know, I saw the Jules Feiffer book, about The Spirit and those others, but it was really those Warren reprints that I looked at and thought, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, what is this? And you know, they're the only, John has all of our old comics, but there's a few things that I still have, and one of the things that I have that are in pristine condition, which are mint copies that I kept, were all of the issues of those Warren reprints. And, I don't think I have anything else that's in mint condition.
Andrew, Andy, I love the way you said that Jules Feiffer book about the spirit and those other superheroes. I love that.
Yeah, what, you know, who cares about those others?
There's a Will Eisner guy for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in those days, unlike today, which John and I talk about a lot, is that, you know, as you know, Bob, I mean, you really didn't have anything about the history of comics, really. I mean, there was the Steranko history of comics. There was the Jules Feiffer book. I'm sorry, the Jules Feiffer book, John, the name of it?
That was 65, so that was perennially around when we were kids.
Right. So that,
and
you know.
All in Color for a Dime, yeah.
Right, All in Color. What was the Feiffer book? What was the name of that?
The Great Superheroes.
The Great Superheroes, right. So anyway, so, it, you know, he definitely, it wasn't like we kind of, you know, it was going to be anybody. It was, Will Eisner was the, you know, the elder statesman, the person that, I mean, we just thought was, you know, the amazing artwork, all of that. I just love that artwork.
And there was the incredible dimension of his career of that he was also a teacher. He also pioneered comics as instructional material and for use with the U.S. Army, with PS Magazine, which is still in existence, which he created the prototype of in the 40s and during World War II. That he was an astute businessman, which is in this field is pretty much unknown. There's very you can count on your hand the good businessmen that were also artists and creators. He was just simply remarkable as a human being for his achievements. And he also connected with the young, not only as a teacher over at the School of Visual Arts, but as a mentor, as he's a self-publisher. He served as an enormous inspiration for any young creator who's coming in the field who didn't want to do superhero comics but wanted to tell their own personal stories through the form, through a literary form. And that's how Will envisioned it ever since the 1940s when he virtually, just right after he came into the business, he was saying that we haven't even scratched the surface of the possibilities of sequential art, is what he called comics.
And sorry, would each of you guys be able to share like a moment that stands out for you of your time spent with Will?
Well, I can certainly say it was the best times were the quiet times, and those quiet times were always shared in the company of Anne. They had been married I wouldn't even venture to guess how many years, but quite a long period of time as husband and wife. To see them together, such a loving couple, and such witty and engaged, and the way they could talk. I remember being in a hotel room in San Diego while I think Dennis Kitchen was there, who was his agent, and of course a renowned publisher and cartoonist himself. He was signing prints, and Anne was in the other room, was in the bedroom of the suite, and the way that they were talking back and forth, I couldn't tell you exactly what they were talking about, but it was so charming and amusing. So. And I also remember out before the Eisner Awards, probably 6 o'clock in the evening in San Diego, and just sitting down and just relaxing with them. It was very much kind of like a parent vibe, like a real, real cool parent vibe. But you just really enjoy their company.
Mm. Yeah, and I would have said the same thing, that really that day that we, you know, it was a long day with Will. We followed him around in San Diego. You know, the camera, we were just chasing Will across the floor as, you know, he was talking to, you know, Bud Plant, and, you know, someone would stop him, a fan would say, oh, how much, you know, and he would stop, of course, graciously and talk to them, and he just kept going, and, you know, I mean, we would say, you know, Will, do you want to, you know, rest, or do you want to, no, let's go, and, you know, and then we ended up going and taking we took a bus, and over to his hotel, and, you know, with the crew, we jumped up on the bus, and then we kept interviewing him, and, you know, he still had the energy,
oh,
and then
great, yeah.
we got to the hotel room, and we went up, and you know, we continued. You know, one of the things is when, you know, as a filmmaker, when you have somebody like Will, who has such a breadth of knowledge about, you know, about comics and the history of comics and graphic novels, you know, you just want to keep getting those stories and that information. He always had, as you know, Bob, better than anyone, he had such incredible stories, and you just, you know, you want to capture them, and for us, you know, you want to capture them on film because it's not as if we could call him or, you know, you and as John said, one of the sad things is we never really got to go down to Taramac and shoot him at the table. I have to say one thing, and sort of backing up a little bit, is that when Will said, yes, you guys can make a documentary, but you first have to go talk to these two guys who had started a documentary. He didn't really know what was going on with it, and if they weren't going to finish the documentary, then you guys could start your own. And there was these two guys, Tom Powers and Alan Edelstein, who had started a documentary, but that for whatever reason they had decided not to continue with it. But there's a fair amount of the footage in the movie that they graciously gave us, and you know, so some of the footage of Will drawing and the Gil Kane interview, you know, some of the interview with Will we got from them.
Hmm.
So it was really amazing for them to do that.
You know, I want to ask you. Neither of our projects had an easy ride out to the public. Certainly not the ride that was predicted for in the early going. And I mean, you guys were, I think, frustrated with the lack of distribution outside of, you know, showing it at comic book conventions. And while, you know, my book on Eisner got published, I mean, it was delayed nearly a year by the publisher for no good reason, literally, and Will passed in that time. And then it was neglected once it was actually in print. And I know you guys have had a lot of time to fulminate on all this, and I wondered if you came to any conclusions about why, you can talk about both projects or just yours, why it was so difficult to get these out to the public.
You know, I'm continually surprised by that. Just because it's Will Eisner. I mean, I think, you know, when we tried to raise money for it, we, you know, a few people gave us some money, but generally we financed everything ourselves. You know, we couldn't really raise that money. I think, we did have interest. I mean, you know, we did have interest in terms of the distribution of the movie, but we weren't willing to sort of sacrifice certain things about the movie. We did a dance with Lionsgate during the period of time of the Spirit movie, but decided against that deal because there were certain things that couldn't be guaranteed for the integrity of the movie, and you know, we didn't do that.
Sorry, was there any integrity in that movie? And I don't mean your movie.
So I think in hindsight, obviously, we're glad that that didn't happen. But,
yeah.
You know, there's for me, I can't speak for John. I'm glad where we are right now. I mean, you know, John has done an amazing job in so many ways with the movie. You know, one of the things is, you know, this movie, the DVD and the Blu-ray, you know, and also Chris Shackman who put it all together. This is what we wanted. I mean, you know, we have all the Shop Talk tapes on as extras, which to me was just so important that people heard what I heard. You know, Will talking to Jack and Jack Kirby and
Jack
Neil
Kirby.
Adams and Harvey Kurtzman, you know. So in a sense, yeah, it was disappointing, but in the long run, I'm really glad where we are today because people can really see what we wanted, you know.
And it really, you know, gets down to, Bob, why we got into this. You know, it's just like we were lifelong Will Eisner fans, and really the whole precedence was to get him recognition in terms of, you know, let's say any other major American artist. And we did our bit, you know. We can meet our maker and say, you know, we did the best job that we were able to do. And I think it does him some service, and it is a good history, you know, frankly, I can step away from it because I wasn't in the editing booth very much. I was, you know, I did a good deal of the interviews. I've got a writing credit on that, but that's really, you know, I asked the questions, you know. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say that I think that this is one of the finest cinematic histories of comic books themselves that's ever been done.
Well,
it really, you really get an inside feel for it.
Well, guys, I hate to interrupt because I love talking to you, and it's been a while since
sure.
we've gotten to do that. But I want to let everybody know before we run out of time that you can order Andrew Cook and John Cook's terrific documentary film. And, yes, I am a little prejudiced, but go out and order it. It's Will Eisner, Portrait of a Sequential Artist. It's available right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can also watch a trailer for the film and get more information at the filmmaker's own website. It's MontillaPictures.com, M-O-N-T-I-L-L-A, pictures.com. Andrew and John, old friends, thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having us.
I hope we'll get to talk again real soon, guys. Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. And folks, for more original interviews with America's top comic book creators and documentary filmmakers both, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. And once you do, please review the show. Give us a couple stars, won't you? You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. Again, that's mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining today. Always appreciate you giving up a little piece of your day and spending it with us. Thanks for listening.
Now, this is the amazing question. If you could read my thoughts, you'd know you're listening to Mr. Media Radio.